Do you like scuba diving? Maybe you enjoy the study of the underwater world? Well, we have a special segment just for you this morning. It's going to be a blessings-packed morning here on Wake Up With Hope.
We have a Reflections of Hope episode, music from Gisela Kroll, a short health talk, and a devotional from Faith for Today. Stay with us.
Good morning. It's a hope-filled morning here on Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for waking up with us.
We are so excited to be here with you, friends, and we pray that as you spend time with us today, you will be drawn closer and closer to Jesus.
On today's program, not only do we have another Reflections of Hope episode, but a special feature from Live It and a devotional thought for you. And we know that you're going to be blessed with music from Gisela Kroll. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On May 25, 1787, delegates representing every state except Rhode Island convened at Philadelphia's Pennsylvania State House for the Constitutional Convention. The building, which is now known as Independence Hall, had earlier seen the drafting of the Declaration of Independence and the signing of the Articles of Confederation. The assembly immediately discarded the idea of amending the Articles of Confederation and set about drawing up a new scheme of government. Revolutionary War hero George Washington, a delegate from Virginia, was elected convention president. During 3 months of debate, the delegates devised a brilliant federal system characterized by an intricate system of checks and balances. The convention was divided over the issue of state representation in Congress, as the more populated states sought proportional legislation and smaller states wanted equal representation. The problem was resolved by the Connecticut Compromise, which proposed a bicameral legislation with proportional representation in the lower house of representatives and equal representation of the states in the upper house, the Senate. This system was put into place so many years ago and is still in existence today and forms the very foundation of our government in America.
You know, it's something that's the same with God's word, and more so. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 89, it says that God's word is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. You know, God's word will never fade. Nothing you and I can do or anyone else can do will ever make it null. The beautiful thing, however, is that unlike man-made laws and rules, God's word is infallible. It is perfect. It cannot be improved on. We can always trust it. So friends, stick to it today and every day until Jesus comes again.
Amen. With the invention of scuba diving came the wonderful possibilities of seeing and studying the underwater world. Scuba diving is probably the only way to visit another world without leaving planet Earth. And it is nothing short of spectacular. Now, there are many things you need to know before scuba diving, but you might find it surprising that the number one and most important rule in scuba diving is simply this.
Don't hold your breath.
That's right. So whatever happens, just keep breathing. How can we apply this simple rule to our spiritual life? Let's find out on today's Reflections of Hope episode.
God's holy word declares that the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. And though marred by sin, creation still speaks of the wisdom, power, and beauty of the Creator. God made nature for us to enjoy, and there's so much to explore on God's green earth. But only in relatively recent times has mankind taken the plunge to explore the deep blue sea. With the invention of scuba diving came the wonderful possibilities of seeing and studying the underwater world. Scuba diving is probably the only way to visit another world without leaving planet Earth. It's nothing short of spectacular. But with so much heavy gear, it's probably the most cumbersome of all the sports. There are so many things that are vital in order to have a successful dive. You need a mask to see, fins to propel, a wetsuit to keep you warm, a BCD to keep you buoyant, weights to keep you down, a tank that holds your air, a regulator that gives you breath, and all different kinds of computers and gauges to keep you informed so that you don't do anything dangerous. It's super cumbersome, but absolutely worth it.
Now, there are many things you need to know before you go scuba diving, but you might find it surprising that the number one and most important rule is simply this: don't hold your breath. Whatever happens, just keep breathing. And as long as you're breathing, you can deal with any difficulty below. You see, the natural instinct of land creatures like us is to hold your breath underwater. So once our head goes below the surface, our mind tells us to stop breathing. And many people find it difficult to overcome this mind block. Not only that, but there's so many spectacular things to see down below that will literally take your breath away. But holding your breath is probably the most dangerous thing you can do. It could lead to a ruptured lung, a panic attack, or an uncontrollable urge to shoot up to the surface, thus causing the bends. And so if you ever get the chance to experience the scuba life, just remember, keep breathing. And as long as you're breathing, you can deal with any difficulty underwater. The same is true for spiritual life above the surface. Prayer is the breath of the soul. And just as we're to breathe without ceasing, the Bible calls us to pray without ceasing. You see, when you breathe, you're both taking in sustaining oxygen as well as releasing the cellular waste product of carbon dioxide. You're receiving that which is good and releasing that which is bad. This is the same thing that prayer does. Prayer is the means with which we receive God's blessings and unload life's burdens. It is the avenue by which we give our problems to God and that God gives us His peace and His power. You see, the purpose of prayer is not to inform God, but rather it is the means by which God transforms us. Many people find life so hard because they're not breathing the breath of prayer. They are spiritually drowning in a sea of sorrow, struggling in an ocean of trouble, when all the while the breath of prayer is right in their mouth. So remember, when life is overwhelming and you feel like you can't keep your head above the water, just keep praying. When finances are low and the bills are high, just keep breathing. When your kids are acting crazy and your spouse is acting lazy, just keep breathing. When the current of your sinful flesh is pulling you into forbidden waters, just keep breathing. Just keep praying. And as you do, God will give you the wisdom and the courage to change the things that you can change. He'll give you the peace and comfort to accept the things that you cannot change. And He'll give you the wisdom to know the difference. And in every single situation, He will bring a change in your heart. And when we come to trust God, both above and below the water, in the highs and in the lows of life, He will show us things we've never seen before. He will do through us things that have never been done before. And He will take us to places no one has ever been before. And finally, one day very soon, we will be able to leave this blue and green planet below to explore the heavenly realities of God's wonderful kingdom. And then we'll be breathing in the very atmosphere of heaven itself. And that, my friends, is a world you surely don't want to miss.
We have more exciting things to share with you this morning, but we have to take a quick break.
When we return, we'll have music by Gisela Kroll. And later, Faith for Today will be a blessing with us with the devotional.
Amen. And before we go, we want to know if you're enjoying today's program. If you are, don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And of course, you can search for us on YouTube and check out our channel and keep up with us there as well.
We'll be right back with more. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for spending time with us this morning.
It's now time for music by Gisela Kroll as she sings her encouraging song, From Where I'm Standing.
It's amazing how you never run out of patience. The God I thought I knew was all about the expectations. I'm learning how to love you.
I wouldn't stand a chance.
Are you or someone you know pregnant or planning to be? Nutrition during pregnancy plays an essential role in the health of the baby, not just in the womb, but even into their adulthood. Our healthy friends from Loma Linda University are here to explain the importance of nutrition during pregnancy.
What if I told you that one out of every five pregnant women in the United States goes to bed hungry? Now, what if I told you that because they went to bed hungry, their babies are now prone to have a chronic disease as an adult? And not only that, but their grandchildren as well. This unfortunate fact is a huge problem.
On the other side of the spectrum, one out of every three pregnant women is overweight. This again has the same negative effect. Their children and their grandchildren will most likely have a chronic disease.
Oh no!
Dr. Lawrence D. Longo of Loma Linda University Health is one of the world's most respected specialists in developmental physiology.
His research on maternal health has been funded by the National Institutes of Health for the last 50 years.
Today, we all know that smoking while pregnant has a negative effect on the child. Well, we can thank Dr. Longo for that. His most recent research has been focused on nutrition in pregnant women.
It's a very sobering reality to think in terms of how something that happened during one pregnancy can have effects throughout several generations. One finds a host of diseases related to the cardiovascular system, hypertension, heart attacks, strokes, to aspects of metabolism, type 2 diabetes, and now the whole panoply of neuropsychiatric disorders which are showing up.
Dr. Longo and his team of researchers have studied how protein deprivation during the course of gestation will have these effects on one's health.
I think that as a society, we should give more attention to pregnancy and early life and development.
Now that we know what the consequences can be as our children become adults, we can't stress the health advice enough.
Eat a balanced diet with enough protein and nutrients. Take a prenatal vitamin every day with folic acid and DHA. And if you're overweight, try as hard as you can to get a healthy weight by the time you conceive.
To quote one of my friends at the National Institutes of Health, every pregnant uterus is a center for excellence.
There is your tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
After the break, we will have today's devotional thought by Faith for Today. Don't go anywhere. Wake Up with Hope will be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
I don't know if I should be the one to break it to you, but your family is not the only one with issues you'd rather not share in public. Normal families have abnormal members. Every family contains individuals with unique quirks, sensitivities, and baggage. And the truth is, nobody knows how to navigate between the landmines of your family better than you. It's intuitive to you by now, isn't it? But quite frankly, truly loving your family members just might be the toughest assignment of your life. Jesus encountered this in his own ministry. His ability to witness to his brothers and sisters was much more precarious than you may think. Perhaps like him, you've enjoyed some spiritual success or have made some connections with hurting people, but it has mostly happened a long way from home, hasn't it? Well, you're not alone. Jesus rescued a wedding by magically restocking the refreshments. He lent a hand on Sabbath by healing another man's withered hand. He produced dinner for more than 5,000 hungry men from just a boy's lunchbox, surrounded without any smoke and mirrors and his sleeves rolled up to his elbows. But his own brothers didn't like what he was cooking up. The blood relatives that Jesus grew up with didn't in the slightest way believe his blood could save the world. In fact, his brothers mocked him to his face in the midst of his ministry. John chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 shows this when it says, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brother said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. At a time when Jesus had become so famous that his great works had made him infamous, how much influence do you think he had with his siblings? Well, apparently, not a whole lot. When the jealous leaders of the church had drawn up specific plans to assassinate Jesus, his brothers practically goaded him to leave the safety of Galilee and to walk to his execution in Judea. Away from his home, crowds flocked to Jesus to be healed physically and spiritually to the degree that even members of the Jewish leadership had begun to believe that he was the promised Messiah. And this might lead you to think that his family was becoming proud of their big brother, too. Just look how God is using him. That's my bro. We're family. Can't you see the resemblance? But no, within the hearts of his siblings, a different type of emotion boiled to the surface. And it wasn't pride. It was embarrassment. Something had to be done. Jesus's spiritual nonsense had now spilled over into their world, and it was humiliating. So when they heard that he was at it again with crowds swarming to a specific house, the Bible says that they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." It's not easy discipling members of your own family. Jesus's brothers still pictured him in his pre-ministry life. Even now, they saw him as the big brother who used to play tag and wrestle and joke with them. He was the one who read to them, sang with them, taught them construction just like Dad preferred things to be done. Intimately, they knew him as their big brother. In their minds, he was the source of their hand-me-down clothes, not the provider of the handed-down robe of righteousness from God. When Jesus came to church with his ragtag 12 disciples, his siblings were mortified even more as the church members scoffed. "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us." The siblings looked for the closest exits. They had each been called out by name. This was a nightmare. The church members were deeply offended by their brother Jesus. They knew exactly who he was. He was the guy who had installed their kitchen cabinets, the one who had helped them with the remodeling project, the one whose inscription marked the underside of their dining room table, lovingly crafted by Jesus. They knew him as the carpenter, not as the Christ he claimed to be. They knew him as something different. Many of you have gone through quite a journey over the years, haven't you? You aren't the same person you used to be. God has done some amazing things in your life. He's grown you, matured you, and he's changed you in ways that you don't even fully realize until you get together with your extended family. And then it's starkly obvious. The person they continue to picture on the outside and the person you know on the inside are like acquaintances at best, and in some cases, practical strangers. You're not the same person they once knew. In fact, sometimes you've changed so much that the person you used to be in the past truly feels disconnected from you in a foggy sort of way. But here's the first part of some very great news today. This change is an undeniable sign that God has been working miracles in your life to walk with you toward your life calling. you are moving and morphing into his likeness. The second part of some very great news will manifest itself in your life in a very similar way as it did for Jesus. You see, even though there was a time that Jesus' siblings weren't moved by his personal spiritual experience, there also was a day when all of that changed. Scripture tells us that after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. But it specifically mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 7, that he met with his openly skeptical brother, James. For the first time in his life, when James looked at the brother Jesus, he saw the presence of God. James's eyes were opened, and it finally allowed him to see the power of God at work within the form that he had always seen as nothing more than his quirky brother. Seeing with his own eyes something that only God could do cut through his calloused heart, and it dropped him to his knees. The skeptical brother who once used to shrink down in his seat at the name of Jesus now shouted that name from the mountaintops. James dedicated the rest of his life as the lead pastor of the church in Jerusalem. What's even more amazing is that this brother who once did not believe in Jesus chose to be executed rather than to deny that Jesus was God. In a shared experience, as you continue to ask God's Spirit to tabernacle himself within you, there will be a day when your relatives will look at you, but will instead see the presence of God at work within you. That will be a deeply moving moment for each of you as you experience this milestone of your discipleship journey. In between now and then, let us take hope in that thought today.
Amen, and thank you, Pastor Roy.
Yes, friends, and thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about us or share us with a friend, please visit hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at the same time. We'll talk about glaciers, have beautiful music, a moving devotional by Pastor Mark Finley, and more. You won't want to miss it.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides. And before we go, we have a Bible promise for you. Today's Bible promise says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13.
Yes, and friends, God will never be unfaithful to us. His promises are sure. His word is sure. No matter how faithless we are, he remains faithful. And that's a promise we can hang on to today.
Yes, we can. You know, friends, we've enjoyed our time with you here today, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, after today's episode, after the things we've heard and the things that have blessed us, we sense that our faith has become stronger. Our faith has grown. And we pray, Lord, that it would continue to grow, that it would continue to gain strength. And even when our faith falls short, we know that in you we can find a friend who is always faithful. And that gives us great hope. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.